Next Step number 577, June 27th, 2019. Etchmiadzin, the building. Yeah, we'll talk about the building and the importance of that building. This is Father Vazgen. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological, and the physical dots in our lives. Look at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. I'm inviting you to take that next step with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today, blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century. Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
8,800 people. 8,800 people. That's the answer. What's the question? How many people injure themselves annually with a toothpick? Can you believe that? Every year, 8,800 people check into emergency rooms. Well, they're counted somewhere. Because of an injury due to a toothpick. Now, this statistic, among many others, is under the subheading A History of Violence. In 1992, 5,800 people checked into emergency rooms with pillow-related injuries, and 2,400 people checked in with injuries involving houseplants. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning of the list. It's a whole list. Who cares? Ask me, who cares? Well, I guess enough people cared to put this book on the New York Times bestseller list. Number one. The name of the book? The Best Book of Useless Information Ever. How we are consumed with useless information. Not only consumed by useless information, but we are also, we make people into useless information. Same book, quote by Robert Redford. People have been so busy relating to how I look, it's a miracle I don't become a self-conscious blob of protoplasm. Robert Redford. Yep. Now, before you get ahead of the game and you think that I'm going to be making some kind of tie-in with, hey, look, this is a sign of the times. We are consumed with nonsense. No. This goes back to the beginning of time. Think about your childhood. Think about the nonsensical things we used to be consumed with. Think about our parents. Think about the fads that come and go. Aren't those all just nonsensical things that sort of add a spice to our life? That, I don't want to say give meaning to life, but they make, well, they're the fun ingredients of life. But at the end of the day, who cares, right? Isn't that what celebrities are all about? Like, who cares at the end of the day what they're doing, why they're doing these things? Well, sometimes. But go back to the beginning of time. Let's go back to the garden, right? In the garden. What's the most pressing question about the garden? What kind of fruit was it? What was the tree? Was it an apple tree? Was it an apricot tree? What did they eat in the garden? Or look at the story itself. Follow it through. Cain and Abel, right? One of them gives God some meat, and another one gives God some vegetables, and we're consumed with the idea of the gifts and the offerings, and we make stories out of these. Yeah, no, it's not about the times. Now, this has been going on since day one. We're consumed with useless information, and we like it. We like trivia. I mean, the most popular of game shows, Jeopardy. Think about it. It's basically a trivia show. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's a trivia show. You know, throwing out questions and who knows the answer to this or that. And they're fun. I can't deny it. They're fun to answer trivia. But useful? Well, it is useful if you're winning money at it, right? We just saw on Jeopardy there was this guy who James, I can't pronounce his last name, can't remember it. He was a professional gambler. You probably saw it. He took the winnings all the way up to $2 million. Yeah, it's useful information if you're the guy using it. But for the most part, we're consumed with all bits and pieces of useless information. Now, I want to take you to some useful stuff today, rather than the useless. And I want to talk about something that, well, we just celebrated in our church. It's called the Feast of Holy Etchmiadzin. And before you go on and say, oh, I know what this guy's going to say, Etchmiadzin, St. Gregory the Illuminator, no, we're not going to go there. If you've already done that kind of research and figured out that this guy is going to go there, you don't know me, right? Because I'm never taking you down those roads that you've expected to go. No, I'll take you down those roads when you're not expecting it, but today I know you're expecting something like that. But what I want to talk to you about today is Etchmiadzin, the building. And the reason I want to talk about that is so many times when we talk about the church, you hear apologetically people saying, well, the church isn't the building, right? The church isn't the building there. It's not the structure. It's the people that are in it. It's you and me. It's the bishops, it's the clergy, it's people interacting with one another and doing Christ's work. And that's beautiful. You know, we can come up with solution. The people of God, people getting together, united. That's, of course, the church. And sometimes when we do this, what happens is the building itself takes a back burner. In other words, we start talking about, well, it's not necessary to have a building. And you know what? I'd jump on that same wagon with you several years ago, except I had a few moments in my life where things really, really kind of like woke me up. That yes, those structures are important. No, those structures are not the entire church. It's not what I'm saying, right? Yes, you need the people and the people. And where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus says, I will be all there also. Yes, we understand that. But those buildings, those structures, give us definition. And it's inside those definitions that we do some incredible work. I was alerted to this many, many years ago. A dear friend of mine turned me on to this book on architecture about the need for churches and just the idea that how the spires, they shoot up to the sky. And later, as my son got into architecture and was just going through his books and reading through them, it's just really so true that those places, those definitions, they really help us. And certainly today, when you sit in a church, you know that there are just certain environments that, well, they're conducive to prayer, to meditation, to the worship process. And you know that there's churches and there are churches. When you walk in certain places, they're overwhelming. And they give you the goosebumps. They take you away. They transport you. Yes, all kinds of things. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Yes, it's important that you have the mix of people, but it's not the only thing. Now, interesting that you're hearing me say that, right? Because I'm always talking about the importance of us exercising our faith beyond the mechanical devices that are all around us. And you can argue that, yeah, that church is, in a sense, that one of those mechanical trappings No, it's not a trapping unless you make it a trapping. But I'm talking about the value of that church. You know what? I felt it several years ago. Back in 1980s, I was ordained a priest and assigned to one of the most beautiful places on earth. That was in the Santa Clara Valley, just south of San Francisco. Today, it is known as Silicon Valley, where most of the tech industry is located, where technology begins really today. And those were just wonderful years where our family started, our family grew. And in that community, there was no church building. There was a church. There was a group of people that had gotten together. They had purchased a home on a 1-acre property, which is unreasonable today in that land and impossible to even touch in that area. But they bought this 1-acre land with a little house on it. Through the years, they added to it. They made a small little assembly hall, which was used for assemblies as well as for meetings, as well as for Sunday church services. And I got sent there and we do our divine liturgy in there. And, you know, I could tell you it was wonderful years, beautiful years. And it got to a point where when we started talking about building an Armenian church according to traditional Armenian architecture, it meant a lot of money, it meant a lot of work, it meant a lot of resources, but certainly the community was there and we could pull that off. But when we started talking about it, I was of two minds. Do we really need it? I mean, my whole ministry has been about, you know, like talk about the gospel message and getting it out and doing it. And I struggled with it. I have to tell you, I'm being honest with you, I struggled with it. And it took us a few years to construct the new St. Andrew Church, as it's called up there. And when it opened, I have to tell you, I've written about this in the past, it was like night and day. It was like night and day. We now had a church and people were coming. It was filling up. They were just regular stream of people. Active church. It's like the Dream Field, you know. Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner movie. Remember that? Build it. If you build it, they will come. Yeah, we built it and there they were. Well, that's not to say that was the only act in town. In other words, it wasn't just because there was a building. The community was right and there was a lot of factors involved in it. But I certainly saw that building itself gave definition to the community. And it became a rallying point where people came around and they rallied around a building which represented something else, something greater than themselves, with the spire, with the dome going up to heaven. Looking up at that dome, you started understanding that you are part of something much bigger, much greater than yourself or the definitions that you held until that time. And this is the power, I think, of Etchmiadzin. That's what I wanted to talk to you about today. I have shared with you in the past the story, the history behind Etchmiadzin from the nun, from Hripsime, was taken into the nunnery with Gayane, the Mother Superior, with St. Gregory the Illuminator coming into Armenia, with Durtad the King, and I'll put this all in the show notes. There's some good videos you can watch. There's enough history out there, okay? I'm not going to go into the history of Etchmiadzin. At the end, St. Gregory the Illuminator, being freed from the dungeon of Hor-Virab, sees the vision where he sees the only begotten Son of God, namely Jesus Christ, descending and with a golden hammer hitting the area where the Church of Etchmiadzin should be built, the Church of the Armenian people. This is wild. This is wild because today that stands. If you go into Etchmiadzin, the cathedral, you see the four points where Jesus has hit with a hammer. And he says, this is where you will build. And it's interesting because it's built on this vision. It's built on this vision of light. There is a beautiful hymn that we sing in the Armenian church dedicated to Holy Etchmiadzin. Etchmiadzin Ihore. In fact, why don't we cue it up and we'll do it as the song of the day, okay? It's Etchmiadzin Ihore Luis. Let me read you the translation because it's so beautiful. And maybe what we could do is I'll read the translation, we'll go to the song so you can hear it, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that, because I want to talk about what's going on in Etchmiadzin right now. The building itself, the importance of that building, something that's happening right now that's not going to happen for another 200 to 300 years. Yeah, happening right now, the importance of that Etchmiadzin and how it speaks to us today. You know, just a few months ago, was it during Holy Week, right, in April, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, it was burnt. The entire world reacted. I want to share with you what's going on in Etchmiadzin, something that demands our reaction today. The hymn of Etchmiadzin is Etchmiadzin Ihore Yevluis Parats Antama. The only begotten of the Father. Remember, Etchmiadzin. Etch is literally, it's a description. Etchmiadzin, the word. And let me back up a little bit because I'm just now ahead of myself and I realized needed to preface this by saying that Etchmiadzin is the world headquarters of the Armenian Church. It is built upon the vision that St. Gregory had, where Jesus came and said, this is where you will build the church of the Armenian people. And that is the headquarters until today. It's a standing monument to faith. And it is an active church. And I'm going to share with you a little bit later. During Soviet times, unheard of, during Soviet times, when churches were locked by the miracle of God, that one was open. In fact, yours truly studied there. People would just be remarkable. Where'd you go to study seminary? I went to the Soviet Union. Wait. No. Seminary we're talking about. Yeah, seminary. Wait, you got an education in theology? Yes, I did. You mean you studied and you prayed in the Soviet Union? Yes, I did. Etchmiadzin. Exempt. Because of God's hand on that beautiful structure, on that beautiful building, on that beautiful idea of God descending and saying, this is where you will build my church. So the hymn goes like this, Etchmiadzin Ihore, the only begotten of the Father descended and the light of glory with him. The voices resounded from the depths of hell. Having seen the great light, our patriarch Grigor told the converted king with joy, come, let us build the altar of light, for there the light dawned upon us in Armenia. That's where the light started from. That's why I get so passionate about it. When we talk about Etchmiadzin, this is not just the building, it's the place where light begins, because Christ came down. There's no other country, there's no other people that can say this. There's nobody else that could look, that could open a Bible and look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, and say, oh, there's the four rivers where the Garden of Eden was. In other words, paradise where humanity began, and those four rivers happen to be right at the same place in Armenia. In fact, nobody else can look at Genesis chapter 8 and see the landing place of Noah's Ark and say that, oh, it landed in the mountains of Ararat. Oh, it's the same place. Twice humanity begins, and the third time humanity is given light. Given the light of Christ, the first Christian nation. And it begins from Etchmiadzin. And so when we talk about Notre Dame and we talk about all the things that are going on, remember, those are all connected. They're connected to the bigger light. Jesus Christ, who shines as light. And it's in that light that we live. I'm going to take a break right now. We play a song every week. This week, we'll pick it out. Ich miadzin ihore. Enjoy. The hymn of Ich Miadzin by the students at the Vosgenyan Seminary at Lake Sevan. And if you caught it at the end, at the end of the first part, I said, here's Ich Miadzin, enjoy. And sometimes, I can't remember who, somebody said to me, he says, you know, these are sharagans. It's like this along the same lines of when you go into a church and someone sings something beautiful, you do not really clap. You hesitate from clapping. In fact, I was listening to a concert that Ian Anderson did at Canterbury Cathedral. And after doing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and at the end, it was just so powerful. And it invited people to stand up and cheer. And there was just a lull. There was nothing. Nobody said anything. And he says, I got to get used to people not clapping. We don't clap in churches for some reason. And so when I said, enjoy this hymn, that may sound kind of weird. I can't remember who. Somebody made a mention that you shouldn't say enjoy to a sharagan. Yes, you should. Here's my argument. These are praises. You need to enjoy it. If you want God to enjoy it, you need to enjoy it. We need to enjoy it. Our praise should be our words should be praiseworthy. In other words, we got to give our best. And our best includes some of the most joyous statements and feelings that we have. So I hope you enjoyed that hymn. I hope you enjoyed it. And be certain that when we sing it right, when we sing it properly, when we do it with that gusto and that joy in our hearts, you know that there's a smile from heaven as well. Ich Miadzin Ihore by the students at the Vosgenyan Seminary at beautiful Lake Sevan. Yeah, seminary right at the lake. And hopefully, God willing, we should be there in a couple weeks. Always a pleasure to visit and certainly a very, very, very special space. A vortex of sort to be at. We're talking today about Ich Miadzin, the building, the structure, as opposed to the history or what Etchmiadzin is. Etchmiadzin literally means the descent of the only begotten, referring to a vision that St. Gregory had back in the 4th century, beginning of the 4th century, 301. Today we're talking about what became of that vision, namely this beautiful structure that stands there as the center of the Armenian Church, worldwide Armenian Church. Now, that building has gotten old. Now, you got to remember that Armenia is in earthquake country. Things rumble, things do rock and roll, and they do shake. And many structures have been destroyed. Etchmiadzin has had its fair share of rumblings. Things moved around. And they have now began a process of reinforcing it, of cleaning it up and renovating it, the Mother Cathedral. In fact, it got to the point that just a few months ago, they actually closed down the Mother Cathedral so that they could literally 24/7 work on the remodeling and the restructuring of that building. I had the very good fortune of being there on one of the last Sundays that we were, I think we were there in October, end of October 2018, and it was one of the last Sundays that actual services were held, and they started moving things out. And I can't remember when they stopped, but I do know that our dear friend Bishop Daniel Findikian was consecrated a bishop outside of the cathedral on the special altar constructed and at the St. Durtad doors. And that's that beautiful outdoor altar that they use for Miron blessing and for high capacity events. And he was consecrated a bishop there because the inside of the cathedral was under renovation. And they're hoping that the renovation and that what they're doing right now, the work, the construction work that they're doing, will give the cathedral an additional 200 to 300 years of life. So it continues, and then at that time, again, they'll probably have to renovate it and do something. Such are the conditions. Now, you've got to remember, these are structures that are built stone upon stone. There's no concrete in there as we know it, or the stuccoing and everything. These are actual stones. In fact, I'll tell you something really interesting. Back in another lifetime, when we were very, very young, and we were seminarians at Holy Etchmiadzin, we were on the bottom rung of the totem pole. In other words, in the pecking order. The pecking order, we were the ones who got pecked. We were the young seminarians. And they'd make us do things that, well, they wouldn't force us. Let me clear that up, okay? But they would ask for volunteers from our group, and I did volunteer. In fact, if I can find it, it will be the cover picture for today's podcast. They used to send us up to the dome. Now, there's no safety nets. There's no chains. You're just you and a ladder and your hands. They'd send us up to the dome. Why? Because it was stone upon stone, and in between the stones, well, mud would accumulate. The wind would blow dust, the earth, and then when rain came, it would turn into mud. All you needed was one or two small little seeds to be blown in there, and you would get literally small little plants, small little weeds growing between the stones. And guess what? If those weeds get too big, those roots start pushing and they push those stones apart. Yeah. So guess who gets to go way up there to the top of the dome to clean out those weeds? Yeah, there wasn't no drawing of straws. They just asked, and I volunteered. I figured, hey, when would we get a chance? When am I going to get a chance to climb up the dome of Etchmiadzin? So there I was, young seminarian, cleaning it off. But I use this story to bring to point that, you know, these are not structures that you just took hoses to or that you called the local handyman and said, hey, you know, we need a little fix. No, these are ancient, ancient cathedrals and churches. And certainly Etchmiadzin is at the center of that this time, that needs this renovation. Now, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, back in April, Notre Dame burnt. The world saw it burn. it was heartbreaking. If you've seen that structure, Notre Dame, one of the, literally, it's one of those landmarks that everybody knows. Even if you haven't been to France, you know it when you see it. You know that what Notre Dame Cathedral is. And to see it burn on a world stage, eyes upon it. And if you remember, during the burning, the altar cross remained, and it just glowed to the point that it was a miracle. The firemen were going in there, and all of a sudden, they see the cross, and there it is, shining. That, to me, is the miracle of God. Now, you can spin it any way you want. I won't argue with anybody, and I don't want anybody to argue with me. We're free to have our own interpretation. People could look at that cross and say, oh, it's just it was a coincidence. Very true. It's possible it's a coincidence. Except, kind of weird, huh? Nothing else but the cross. And there are people that could say it's a miracle of God. It's a sign that God is with us. And there are people that could just look at it and thank God that the entire thing wasn't burnt down. To me, I looked at it as it was something that happened during Holy Week and maybe brought the attention of the world to something greater, as all buildings should do, right? In the same way, imagine the whole world saw that cross in Notre Dame, and it was Holy Week, the week of the Passion of our Lord, His crucifixion, and His resurrection. Sometimes we need a sign that the entire world can see. And we did see it, didn't we? I'm surprised that some of the evangelists, and they probably won't go there because this was a Catholic cathedral, right? They probably won't go to these places. But I'm surprised that some of those sign of the times evangelists didn't say, hey, here's the sign that should be seen from the west to the east. Well, you don't need them to tell you. I'm telling you this. There it is, the sign. The sign of the cross was shared from one side of the planet to the other side. We all saw that by virtue of our television, by virtue of our computer links, our internet feeds. We saw it, and the world was tuned in. Now, you think about Notre Dame, and you think about the experiences that people have had. When I look at Etchmiadzin, I think in the same manner. I look at Etchmiadzin and I see a history of people coming there with absolutely no hope, not having a hope, living in darkness, and hearing inside of Etchmiadzin the words of our liturgy. Sayegyank huis harupyun. This is life, hope, and resurrection. You know, when all the chips are down, and you are at the bottom, you are looking for that hope. You are looking for resurrection from your crucifixion. And for our people, I mean, chips have been down for a long time. And it's in Etchmiadzin that you hear it. It's in Etchmiadzin that you see it. Growing up in America back in the 50s, 60s. I was born in the 50s, but really, literally grew up in the 1960s. Big, big part of my life that I remember as a child. The childhood years was in the 60s, and of course, 70s, the formative years. Very important times for me. And I think about my Armenian identity. I think about my Christian identity. What was that Christian? What shaped it? And Etchmiadzin shaped it. You see, because for us, Etchmiadzin was the kingdom. Etchmiadzin was there. It was the place where we could identify with. The Catholicos himself was a leader of the church and leader of the nation. He'd come to us as a king. Not something that he'd ask for, but we projected on them. Because in Etchmiadzin, we saw the embodiment of our history. Yes, our history, which was defined by our Christian faith. We understood what it meant to love unceasingly. We understood what it meant to give. We understood that there is a power greater than the violence that is professed throughout the world. And our history is defined by our Christian faith. It's remarkable. It's a difficult one to understand. A lot of times people will back off on that. will say, well, no. You got to have a faith and you got to have a nation. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But what if they're so intertwined that you cannot separate them? In the way that St. Vartan Mamegonyan said, it's not a shirt that I could just take off. And sitting in the United States back in the 60s and 70s and looking at the world and thinking, where is Armenia? There was a virtual Armenia. The virtual Armenia was at our churches. We would go there and we would be connected with the only begotten Son of God. And we understood that only begotten Son as descending at a very special spot, namely Etchmiadzin. And as a young man, I went to Etchmiadzin at age 20, 21. And actually much older than most people who go to Etchmiadzin. Many of the seminarians were very young. Young boys, I think they enter the monastery at age 13 or 14 were the youngest. But many of them were like 15, 16, 17 years old. So I was like one of the older ones that got there. But not the only older one. Not the oldest one, in fact. And we became the seminarians of that particular year. And for me, it was always interesting. There was, let's see, three of us from America. And people would always ask me, what do you mean you've gone to a seminary in Armenia? Isn't Armenia a Soviet republic? Yeah, it is. Well, isn't the Soviet Union atheist? Yes, it is. And so you went to a seminary? Yes. And what did they teach you there? Communism? No. What did they teach you? The Bible? Yes. What did they teach you? Hymns? Yes. What did they teach you to pray? Yes. In Armenia. Can you believe that? That's the power of Etchmiadzin. It was led by an incredible Catholicos, the head of the Armenian Church, namely His Holiness Vazgen I of blessed memory. He was one of the longest reigning pontiffs of the Armenian Church from 1955 to 1994, 39 years. And during that time, he was charismatic, but he had this incredible personality, stamina, he had the will, and he had the faith that is necessary to move our church. And he moved it, even in times where it was impossible to move. I remember being at the seminary and seeing late at night or on off hours, cars arriving from communist leaders who would come in to have their children baptized, for they themselves to receive the blessing of the church, whether it was a prayer or whether it was for their own marriages to be consecrated. Yeah. They couldn't do it outwardly, but they sure knew how to get it done. And they would come to Etchmiadzin. In America, for us, Etchmiadzin was that very special place that tied it all together. And so today, Etchmiadzin is in need of a renovation. And this year, just a few months ago, or maybe a month ago, His Holiness Karekin II, the Catholicos of all Armenians, appointed our local bishop over here of the Western Diocese, Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, to head the renovation project, to head the worldwide awareness campaign for this renovation and restoration. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put those links that Archbishop Hovnan has supplied, because last Sunday we were together. We were together at the St. Leon Cathedral. I was able to serve with him. He just did this incredible divine liturgy where certainly it was one of those times where you feel like the Spirit is right on there with you. Or let's do it the other way around, where I felt like we were all with the Spirit, okay? Spirit's always with us, but we need to be synced. Well, we were synced. It was just a beautiful, beautiful liturgy. And in his very powerful message, he spoke and invited the people to take a part. You know, in the hymn of Etchmiadzin that we heard a few minutes ago. There's that one line. It talks about St. Gregory meeting up with the king. In other words, it is the clergy and the laity coming together. And the words there are, come, let us build the altar of light. For there the light dawned upon us in Armenia. And, you know, if you just take that for its face value, you realize that we have an obligation to really construct this altar, to make sure that future generations are going to have a place that will give them definition as well. I'm not going to argue with somebody who says, you know, the church is not a building. You're right, it's not a building, but it's not anything outside of the building by itself. In other words, together, let's understand that church has multiple meanings, and certainly that building has a very special function in our faith process. When you start thinking about lights and how the light, I mean, this, I'm going to go back to the Sharagan, to the hymn. It says, Etchmiadzini, Luis Iluso, descended, and the light of the glory of God. The voices resounded with the depths of hell. Having seen the great light, that great light is so important in Armenian theology, in Armenian Orthodoxy. You see that light coming out, and it's because we have lived in darkness that light shines. As Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not live in darkness. We don't need to live in darkness. Now think about that in all of our lives. Etchmiadzin is the place from which that light started shining. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, that's where it came out of. When we talk about Armadoxy, about the Armenian Orthodox in today's life, it has to have that connection with Etchmiadzin, to that light that is there. And many times our connection to Etchmiadzin, because of our proximity on this globe, is literally a virtual reality for us. In other words, it is just somewhere out there, and so we get romantic about it, we talk about it, we can take it or leave it. But it is so important that we realize that it is a true reality. Etchmiadzin, the building, is important. Just as it was important for me to go up there and clean up those weeds, it is important for us to take care of something so precious and so dear to us. There are many stories that are coming out of the renovation of Etchmiadzin, including new frescoes that they've discovered, new paintings on the walls, things that have been whitewashed, painted over for various reasons, sometimes because of the hostile situation we were in, sometimes because, you know, a whim of a Catholicos. You don't know, many, many reasons, but they're discovering all these as they are renovating, and truly, truly exciting. Listen, I want to just open the door to that conversation, that as much as through the years we always talk about where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also, that those two or three are the church. Yes, essential that Jesus Christ is at the center of our gatherings, but also understand Jesus Christ is at the center of Etchmiadzin, the place where the only begotten, that refers to nobody else but Jesus Christ. Several years ago, Catholicos Karekin I of blessed memory, he pronounced Etchmiadzin as mission, and something that we all applauded. It was, and is still needed, that we understand that Etchmiadzin is mission. But let me add to that, it is also mission. In other words, it is also building. Etchmiadzin is a place, it is a mission. And we've talked about the mission part. I'll definitely put some links on the show notes that will point you in some directions that you should be reading and following up. But for today, I wanted to leave you with this message, that today, the feast day of Holy Etchmiadzin, still fresh in our minds with the feast day of Hripsime Gayane, the deliverance of St. Gregory from the pit, the feast of Etchmiadzin is one that is calling us to look at that building and our responsibility to pray and to be united in the renovation process. Just like Notre Dame is being heralded throughout the world as the place where all of us need to participate, and you find people even of non-faith participating, this Etchmiadzin is the place where we all connect and many others connect because of who we are in the world. The light that we have received and the light that we share with the rest of the world. Take a break right now. Here is Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back to share with you some final comments and parting shots.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for the announcement, and thank you, all of you, for sharing your love, your joy with us. Thank you for praying for us and for your donations. They are what keep us going. Now we are in our 12th year of podcasting. Unbelievable when you think about how we started, the modest ways we started, and the modest ways we are living in right now. But it is all by the grace of God. And this ministry is really, our ministry is about walking in the shoes. We're inviting people to walk in the shoes of others, to feel others' pain, to feel their loneliness, to feel their hunger, to feel their thirst, to feel their need for human life, for human love and compassion. And so we have a wide assortment of different activities that we participate, and we partner with many different people. Now, right now, we have a big project going on. It's going to be in Sasnashen. I've shared it with you in the past, and I'll have a link on today's show notes. You could check it out. Check out the story. We're going to be going out to the region of Tallinn inside of Armenia, where there's an opportunity for us to construct a youth facility where young kids who have otherwise no other opportunity to advance or to receive proper education. Education, when I say proper, I mean in a manner that will lead to something higher, to a higher form of education. And we're giving that opportunity. We're making that possible. And this all began because, you could say, an accident or a coincidence, but I want to say because of a miracle that happened last year when the United States Air Force prop wash gang approached me and we went and talked. They collected some money. And these are non-Armenians investing in Armenia, investing in a small little village because the love that's in their heart. Always something greater comes out of the little things that we do when Christ is at the center. And certainly Christ is in the center of walking in his shoes, of in his shoes, because it's his shoes. He's made it very plain and clear. He says, who am I? He says, I'm the lonely guy. He says, I'm the hungry one. I'm the thirsty one. I'm the prisoner. I'm the one in need. When you help one of these, my brothers, you have helped me. And so we serve Christ in this manner. And we invite you to be a participant in the In His Shoes experience. You can get more information at our website, In His Shoes. And by the way, everything's getting revamped. We just need time to do all this. And we need your help. We need your prayers. Your prayers. And drop us lines. We love hearing from you. You can drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. You can also catch us on all the socials. I'm going to call it a day for right now. I hope you enjoy. enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Going to be up in the Seattle region this weekend to celebrate the Divine Liturgy at the Holy Resurrection Church. If you happen to be around, please do come by and say hello. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Come from a cow too, the boy cow or the girl cow?
Hi, this is Father Voskin. If you've reached this part, you've done so as a... Hi, this is Father Voskin. If you've gotten to this part, it means you are in for a treat. As a little bonus for sticking it out to the end, I'm going to share with you a clip that I have that I recorded back in 2009 while on a pilgrimage with my son Varjan. These are the bells of Holy Etchmiadzin calling the people to worship.